Hello and welcome to the Heart Song Yoga Podcast. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Sarah.
Today we are talking about breathing, I think.
Yeah, the breath.
Essential thing for life.
It is. And it's an interesting thing because the breath is a very unconscious thing because it happens regardless of what we're thinking about or doing. It just happens. Mm. So I thought I've themed this term about our breath and having a focus on letting the breath move you.
Right.
Especially when you've been doing yoga for a while and you know the routines and you come to do it and it can become very automatic and you can sort of go through the motions without getting much. I mean, you're getting the movement and so you're getting the benefit of being a bit more supple, but without any other awareness, it's quite shallow. Whereas if you start exploring, allowing the breath to move you, it changes things hugely. So for example, say you're about to bring your arms up in front of the body and you're not even really thinking about it. And so the arms come up in front of the body and you wouldn't have a clue what your breath's doing. Whereas if you stop and you say, okay, on the in-breath, now let the in-breath start and now let the breath move your arms up.
Mm.
And then wait for the out-breath and let the out-breath take your arms back down. Just noticing a lot more depth in the movement. The movements are slowing down. They're becoming more mindful.
Mm.
And there's a deeper awareness.
Mm.
Hmm.
I think also I've noticed in that particular application of the breath is that it takes strain off your muscles and your skeletal system. So if you can focus, instead of using muscles to lift your arms, instead using the breath to lift your arms, they feel lighter.
Absolutely. There's a much sort of more effortless feeling.
Mm.
Because we are working in the pranic layer, basically, as soon as you take your awareness to the breath, and it's almost like you're working in that pranic layer, aren't you? You know, let the breath move you. It's almost like if you imagine the cat pose and if you're on all fours and you're getting ready to sort of start working with the cat pose and you're starting to let the breath move you, then it's almost like you're letting the breath flow into the whole of your spinal column and move up and move back down again. And it's very conscious.
It makes the movements gentler as well, in my experience. So it, this is all just about where you want your attention to go. Sometimes it's going to be that you want to focus on the muscle actions and perhaps isometric movements or something. But if you're engaging the breath and using that to create the movement, it adds a softness to the movement. So you don't tend to take a movement to its extreme if you've used your breath to guide it, as opposed to if you've used muscular awareness to guide it.
Definitely. Yeah.
And that, it's not that either one of those is better or worse. It's just a different experience and depends what you're trying to get out of your practice at the time.
I think it's good exploration, especially if you're a bit disconnected from your breath. It's a good exploration you notice the breath start to deepen and lengthen and the movements start to deepen and lengthen and slow down. So it's sort of starting, it's sort of almost learning to re-notice in this different way of moving. And it can bring your awareness into pockets of tension that you might not have been aware were there before because you're not thinking as much. You know, just the mindfulness it brings in is really quite profound, as opposed to going through the motions, arm up, arm down, arm out, arm in. It can become quite robotic.
Yeah. It can, yeah.
And just that, yeah, that finding that sort of state of rhythm and that nice oscillation that the focus on the breath can bring. It's like you say, it's a much gentler, kinder way of moving with more awareness.
Yeah.
And especially when... Go on, you go.
No, you go.
Oh,
you're continuing a thought.
Oh, I was. It's just really related to this term because we're working on some stronger postures that are building some deeper strength. So, for example, the cobra sequence and also the bow. So we've been working on the bow this week. So when you start to focus on the breath and you're sort of letting the breath guide the movement, as you mentioned, there's a lot less risk of going too far. in a strong pose like the bow.
Yeah.
If you're letting the breath guide you, then you're not sort of pushing the muscle before the breath. The breath is guiding you, and therefore you're going to work much more within your capabilities and your movement range that's safe for you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that we've noticed.
Yeah, yeah, which I think that ties back quite nicely to my experience of, you know, when you use the breath as your guide for movement instead of physical awareness, you don't go so far into the extremes. And and we use breath work all the time in, you know, in sort of resistance training as well. So if you are lifting heavy weights for some exercise, then it's very breath focused. Like if you can't breathe properly, you're not going to be able to do it. And if you don't breathe properly, it's dangerous because you put strain. So basically, if you are, say the exercise is to bend down and pick up a heavy weight, you breathe in as you bend down, you engage the core, and then, which I know is an out breath activity, so you might take two there depending on your awareness and how you sort of train that. You might breathe out to engage and then breathe in again, but basically the main emphasis is on the out breath as you lift a heavy weight. So when you stand back up, you're using all of your legs and your posterior muscle chain to do this. When you stand back up with the heavy weight in your hands, you breathe out as you do it. And as you do that, one, that tightens your core stability, and two, it allows for this effort to be expelled from the body in a way that then means, whereas if you hold your breath, suddenly you're holding all of your muscles and you strain things.
Yes.
As soon as you take that sort of tension within and you don't breathe out as you exert, as you engage in the hard activity, you start pulling muscles or you start straining things or you lock joints or you do something that causes unnecessary wear because you're not letting that effort go.
Well, that makes sense.
It's a really interesting process because you think it's just physical when you do it. But now that I talk about that, I'm like, it's about expelling the effort to engage the conscious awareness of what you're about to do. And then you breathe out the effort.
Yeah. Yeah. Which then softens and allows the body to yield. So if you're breathing out as you're lifting, there's a little bit of give there, isn't there? It's like let that give be there because then you're not going to start pulling and snapping things.
Yeah. Like the main point, I think you can, like, depends on how heavy it is and you know, what your training is. Like, you know, if you're just picking up something that for you is not very heavy, well, then your breath work doesn't really matter as much. But this is assuming that you're actually physically engaged with the body. It's not just a chore that you're doing. But even so, like if you're unloading groceries from the boot, that's heavy lifting.
Yeah.
You know? And that's why you do this resistance training, so that you don't injure yourself when you're doing something that is a very compound movement of lifting and twisting and setting down heavy weights, which could be bags of, you know, groceries.
Absolutely. It's
carrying them upstairs. You know, it's like if you use your breath, you bring your awareness back to the movement and the muscle engagement.
Yeah. And that's sort of the idea behind bringing a term of breath awareness in is to see the carry-on effect into those everyday things. And, yes, things like shopping, lifting in and out of the car, twisting, gardening, another big one, is where most injuries happen, and it's where most people say, oh, my back just went when I was in the garden, or my back just went when I was bringing the shopping in.
Yeah.
And it didn't just go. It's sort of like being ready to go for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
But you haven't noticed that.
In your yoga class, probably, unless you have a teacher who does not engage your awareness.
Mm.
And it probably won't happen at the gym.
No.
Because I was reading another article a while ago which talked about the importance of managing your body and your movement and breath work, and also your sort of times of the day. And they say this, it was a physiotherapist, I think, and they saw a lot of like gym athletes, not professional level necessarily, but you know, people quite committed to that process. And he said, most people who come in have not injured themselves at the gym. They've injured themselves patting the cat first thing in the morning. Something like that, you know, some activity that involved bending down and standing up first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
When typically people are not very in their bodies.
Mm.
They are, you know, sort of
mindless
cold because they've been sleeping. They're not warmed up.
Yeah.
But usually you go to the gym and it's a whole process of mental engagement to get there, of warming up. And it's the same with yoga. We activate before we start. Mm. Yeah. We always do body preps before we engage in any difficult positions.
Yeah.
It's sort of, and you move into it in stages. So risk of injury, if you practice like that, is low to nil.
Mm.
The yoga that it creates injuries are usually the opposite classes, where they start very static and then they move into very difficult poses without a lot of body preps. So.
And those occasions, which I just recently heard of one very recently, where you get pushed into shape. And it's just at the weekend that I heard another example of this happening, and I was horrified because, you know, you like to think that that's not happening still, but it is apparently.
I think it very much happens. But like that class that I went to probably a couple of years ago now, where it's like, no requirements for this class. You can show up as a completely random stranger, beginner, never done yoga before, and by the end of the class, she was putting people in headstands.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
Actually, I remember you wrote something about that, and it was like a comedy skit.
It was like a comedy skit. I don't know if we put that on your blog or not. I'll dig it out sometime.
May have to dig it out. Yeah, may have to rerun it. It was pretty amusing. It had to be amusing because it was so horrifying.
It was horrific, yeah. But all of those things, like if you can bring for yourself, you know, if you can bring awareness of the body through the breath to anything sort of example like that, you'll never find yourself in a class where you are not empowered to do what is right for your body.
Yeah.
Because you will know. It's a huge tool for intuition, the breath.
Yeah, it is the breath. So having this awareness on the, it's a huge discussion, the whole breath aspect. Yeah. But this focus of let the breath move you. Is a nice, it's almost like a little mantra, you know, let the breath move you. And if you can just be aware of that and bring that into your awareness in these everyday tasks, let the breath move you. So when you're going to pick up the two bags of heavy shopping full of tins and cartons, and you that springs to mind, you know.
Breathe in, engage the process, breathe out and expel the effort. And if you same thing for I found I quite naturally do it, probably because of my yoga training, but if I'm going to play golf, I naturally breathe with swing. You know, it's like there's a breath to that. There's a rhythm to that. And if you can use your breath, well, then suddenly it flows a lot better. I'm not a good golfer by any stretch of the imagination, but definitely what I have noticed is if I'm mindless about the breathing, then it is not as good. I will not get as good a drive. I will not get, you know, the same sort of sense of flow and energy through that process. And same for dancing as well. Like it's so easy to hold your breath.
Hold your breath. Engage. Yeah. And it's one of the things I notice most working one-on-one with people in a yoga therapy setting is the unconscious breath holding.
My partner actually said that because he's a welder, and one of the sort of tricks to it that so many people he sort of sees don't understand is that your hand will be much steadier and your weld will be better if you keep breathing. Most people intuitively hold their breath because they think that will make them stiller. It makes them shake. And if you keep breathing smoothly through the process, you're calm and you're still and your muscles don't quiver.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because, I mean, that applies to anything, really. If you're about to pour a hot drink, if you're about to put a paintbrush onto a canvas, all those things where you sort of think,
eye makeup. Yeah.
Yeah, hold your breath. Yeah.
Yeah. How many people hold their breath when they're doing their mascara? See if you can not hold your breath and see if that changes how you do it. It takes practice, but you'll find that you'll get a better result.
So, yeah, this is a classic example of bringing yoga into everyday life. Let the breath move you.
I like that.
And learning to
easier it is.
Yeah, learning to re-notice ourselves and becoming aware of the unconscious tension, because when you start to move with the breath, it sort of brings up what's there. So you go a little deeper.
Yeah, you'll almost always find that if you're not breathing into something, there's something there that you want to avoid. Or if something is tight, then the way to release it is to take your breath there.
Absolutely. It's powerful. So we just touched a little bit. We'll have to carry this on.
We will. Because I've just I sort of had an article up that I started reading before and didn't sort of finish, but there's a little thing at the end, which is just a teaser really to have to go and look further into it. But it says, resuming the work of Morgado Vale, which is a reference I'd have to look up. Breath has patterns. Schemes create behavior. Breath is a behavior. Behavior represents the person. Therefore, breath reveals the person.
Oh, that's powerful, isn't it? I like that.
Look further into that.
Yeah. Maybe we'll carry this on next week.
Maybe we will. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Have a lovely weekend of breathing through all of your processes.
Yes. Let the breath breeze you through the weekend.
Yes. And we'll talk again soon.
Bye.
Bye.